Well, it's a great blessing and privilege together as God's people, and the fear of God is a blessing, and it's amazing grace that a man, a clay vessel, can fear God, can fear the living God. And it's God's choosing, it's God's way. He selects, He chooses, and He puts His fear in our hearts. And there's so much around the fear of the Lord in Scripture. There are so many scriptures that talk of the fear of the Lord. And indeed, as I looked into this, it struck me how the right fear of God gives us the right kind of relationship to God. If we have the right fear of God, we can be rightly related to Him. It's not the fear that drives us from Him. The true fear of God drives us to Him. We truly fear the Lord, we run to His arms. We truly know His fear, we will walk even as He walked. In fact, before we can walk with Him, we need to fear Him. So there are so many topics, or so much rather material in relation to the fear of the Lord. I just want to skim the surface on a few points tonight, but I might have to take it over a couple of sermons, two or three, really, to look at this in a little bit of depth and to see how we can be rightly related to the Lord and have the true fear of the Lord. So let's ask the Lord's help as we come to His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight that You are the living God. Yes, all the gods of the earth are idols, but You truly are the God of heaven and earth. You have created all that is seen and unseen, and in You all things consist. We thank You for the continuation of our fellowship tonight, even as we experienced it this morning, even as You never leave nor forsake us by Your Spirit. But it is special, Lord, to come to You with Your people. And it is special, Lord, to look into Your Word. And so tonight we thank You for the opportunity so freely given that we can come under the Word of God. And we thank You, Lord, for the right kind of fear that drives us to Your arms, Lord. We pray, Lord, that tonight You might be able to speak through Your Word. And I pray I'd be a channel tonight, that I would get out of the way and that You might be able to speak freely and use me tonight. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's on my heart to share this topic because we as God's people are in desperate need of the knowledge of God and of the wisdom of God and of having the right relationship to Him and being able to walk in the right relationship with the Lord. The fear of God, as it is, it tightens the bowstring. It tightens the bowstring and gives us the right tension, gives us the right relationship with a holy, awesome, and majestic God, a God who dwells in unapproachable light. And the correct fear of the Lord, the correct fear of the Lord Jesus, the correct fear of the living God, as I said before, let me stress, it drives us to Him. It doesn't cause us to run from Him, but as His children, causes us to run to Him. In Hebrew, the word yira, which is used in John 1:16 and Psalm 90:11 as an example, the word, the Hebrew word yare in Malachi 3:16 and pashad, Job 3:25, Psalm 119. It means a reverent fear. It means a terror or dread. And normally that's simply translated as fear. So it's more than just an awe or respect, as the word kabad, which is used in Exodus 20:12. In fact, in Greek, fear and terror is phobo, which we know the word phobia very well, don't we? Reverence or honor is timeo. So there is a difference as we look at the Hebrew, the Greek meaning. And, you know, oft times people try and gloss over the fact that the fear of the Lord, it really does mean a terror. It does really mean a dread. There is a reality of that. That's part of the tension of that bowstring. That's part of who God is, how holy, awesome, and majestic He is, how He dwells in unapproachable light. There's an element of that fear and terror. Remember what Paul, writing to Corinth, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing therefore the terror. So there's an element of that yira, of that pashad, in the fear of the Lord. And, you know, in this society, we desperately need to know the fear of the Lord. And as His people, we need to have the correct fear of God. As we go about our duties in our schools and universities, in our workplaces, in our homes, as God's people, we need to be walking in the fear of God, the truest sense of the word, to live and to breathe in the fear of the Lord. Remember what how the Lord was transfigured before His disciples, and as He was yet speaking in Matthew, if we could turn there, Matthew 17, I just want to give an example of that terror and of that drawing by the very greatness of God and by His awesomeness and majesty and terror and dread. He draws men to Himself. Now, this was an example in Matthew 17, verse 5, as Jesus took Peter, James, and John, His brother, and led them up on a high mountain. In verse 5, while He's speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. If you or I were at that place, I'm sure that terror, that dread would have enveloped us. This is an awesomeness. This is a transfiguration, a bright light, and a great cloud enveloping, and the voice of the living God speaking. And there was a great terror and dread that fell upon the disciples. Yea, they were undone. As Isaiah said, "He is undone." And they fell on their faces, and they worship. This is in the truest sense, worship of the living God. A falling down on your face. This was a terror and a great dread. And straight away, verse 7, Jesus came and He touches them and He says, "Arise and do not be afraid." Amazing, isn't it? There is a great fear and a great awe. And when men fall and revere God, He rises them up. He rises them up. He says, "Do not be afraid." Similarly, in Luke chapter 12, if we go over there also, please, we see the words of the Lord when he teaches us the fear of God. He teaches us, in the truest sense, the fear that we ought to have for the living God. Luke 12, verse 4, "I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body." Certainly, this is a word for the persecuted at this day and this hour. This is a word to them, certainly, that would exhort them. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. And it's speaking of the living God. "Fear Him who, after He has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear Him." So fear is named three times there in that verse. "I'll show you whom you should fear." He's speaking now to His friends. He's speaking to those who have gathered about Him. And He begins to say to His disciples, "My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body." The Lord Jesus was sought out. He was sought out by those who tried to seek to kill Him. And those who followed Him also were collectively in that group, singled out together, that they also may be put to death, the followers of Jesus Christ. There was a reality of death, a reality of those enemies who would seek to kill and to take His life. But Jesus, turning, says, "Do not fear those, do not fear man, fear God." There's so much fear of man in our society. I'm not going to talk about that tonight. I'm not going to touch on that. There's a whole new topic. But the fear of God here is what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. Fear Him who, after He has killed, He has power to cast into hell. He has the power to choose. "I say to you," in exclamation, fear Him. We are to fear, have a dread of the living God. And then there is this tension. There is this tension in that fear, in that moment of dread and awe of the living God. The Lord Jesus says, "But are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. How the Lord Jesus reconciles to himself. How the Lord Jesus gives us the right understanding. How the Word of God makes it clear that we are to have at the same time an awe and a dread and a reality of the terror of the living God, but yet an understanding of his compassion and his drawing and his love and his tender care. How great is our God? Who can put him in a box? How unsearchable are his ways? How can we, in the 80, 90, 100 years of our existence on earth, even begin and fathom to see the greatness of the living God? To us he is revealed in part, but as we heard this morning, when we see him, we shall be like him. When we see him, when we stand before him, we will fully comprehend. But we see in the Lord Jesus this teaching, the fear of the living God, but at the same time, that right fear. Not that drives us from him, but that drives us to him. So that being a small introduction, I just want to look at two aspects of true fear tonight and the blessing of fearing God. And Deuteronomy 10:12 gives us a very accurate description of how we ought to fear and how before we walk with God, we must fear him. We see the Lord Jesus, as he drew men to him, this was no flippant relationship. This was no, he called those who were sober and serious his friends. He called those who were gathered together with him that were following Jesus at the risk of their own life. He called them friends. He drew those to him who were serious and had the fear of God in them. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12, to Israel, this is said, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? What is the requirement to the people of God, to Israel? It's written this way, but to fear the Lord your God. To fear the Lord your God. This is that true fear. This is the not just the reverence and awe, but the terror and dread, knowing the terror and the majesty and power of God at the same time. Fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command you today for your good. Notice it begins with the fear of the Lord. It begins in the fear of the Lord. Psalm 128 also puts it this way. Before we can walk with God, we must fear him. Before anyone can walk with the living God, there must be a right relationship. We must know who he is. Psalm 128, and this is really a wonderful passage, which I just want to touch on the first few verses, but this really has about 7 or 8 sermons right through it, this psalm, Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Again, as Deuteronomy, we see the order. What, O Israel, does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord and to walk in all his ways and to love him? Before we love him, we must fear him. Before we walk with him, we must fear him. Remember when Simon Peter was in the boat. Remember when he saw the great catch of fish. Remember how he was undone. What occurred there in that boat in Luke 5? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Which man can do that? Only God could have done that. And suddenly the fear and terror of the Lord overwhelmed him. And Simon Peter sinks down in the boat and says, "Depart from me." He literally says, "Depart, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man," and he is undone. He sees Jesus. This is no story. This is no children's picture book. This is the reality. the catch of fish, the greatness and the awesomeness and the terror of the Lord. He sees who he is dealing with, that this is not a mere man. And he sinks down into the boat. And when he has understood the fear of the Lord, when he has understood the terror and the awesomeness of God, and he says, "Depart from me, God," then Jesus again says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. What a wonderful testimony of a life transformed before the disciples walked with the Lord. Before anyone can walk with God, they must learn the fear of the Lord, must learn the true fear of God. And the Lord Jesus, once we understand, once we see and he reveals himself to us, he lifts us up saying, "Do not be afraid, do not be afraid." Those who walked along the way, remember after the resurrection, after the Lord rose from the dead, in Luke 24:32, they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road?" The thoughts of their heart were revealed. The scripture was real to them and their hearts were aflame. And they understood whom they walked with. And I say this, before we walk with the living God, we must learn to fear the living God. By the fear of God, men turn from evil. This is the second point. By the fear of God, men turn from evil. This is true generally as well. This is not necessarily those who have a relationship with Christ, who walk with Jesus. But generally speaking, the fear of the Lord, you know the saying, that'll put the fear of God in you. And men generally turn. Societies, even though they don't have the right relationship with God, the fear of God, by the fear of God, men turn from evil. I know that there are well-meaning Catholic folks, folks we know. I remember your testimony, Nolene, of your own parents who were God-fearers before they came to Christ. There is a general element of that. That's a blessing in itself, the beginning of wisdom, as we know, is the fear of the Lord. And heard accounts and testimonies of folks who, for example, even in my nation, in Poland, which is 98% Catholic, but people who have a fear of God, and it preserves them in the society. They're anti-abortion, they're anti-gay marriage, and they're very resolute in a lot of things which society has slipped on. And in many cases, these folks, the first time they've heard the gospel, they've come to Christ. The first time. You know, Janina, who is a friend of ours, her mother, I think, was in her 70s. And she heard the gospel the first time in a developed nation when she was in her 70s. She was a God-fearing person. And in her 70s, the first time she walked into a church, she was saved. First time. Under the sound of the gospel. There was a fear of God there. They brought up their children in the fear of God to an element, but without the relationship with Christ. And this is what I want to stress, that we need the fear of the Lord and we need the right relationship to him in Christ. And he draws us to himself. And praise God for his work. Praise God for his work saving those even today who are trying to save themselves. And he is the one who is able to work even through that. They don't have the full picture, but the fear of God is an amazing beginning to fear God. Can you imagine a world where there was no fear of God at all? Can you imagine this world and slowly becoming, well, not slowly, but rapidly, our society is going to a place where there is no fear of God. There's no reverence. There's no awe of God. In the schools, in the universities, in general society, you know, there are things in advertising which, you know, cannot be named from this pulpit, but it's just the brazen rebellion of man, which we know in time past, maybe we read the chronicles of the 1900s and generally how society was held together. There was an element of God's fear. The people may not have had a relationship with God, but folks came to church. Children were under the word. And this is slowly degrading from our society, from our world. Imagine a world where there is no fear. Imagine. It's God's grace that there's an element of fear. There's an element still of the fear of God in our land. And as I say, where there is a consequence for sin. There are folks, sinners or saved, there is a consequence for sin. And when people, as believers, I want to have the right fear of God, not the fear that drives me away from Him. But folks, there are those who shrink back, shrink away. But I want to have the right attitude in this area, the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13 says, "For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil." The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We want to hate the things which God hates and love the things He loves, as we heard this morning. We want to love the things He loves and hates and hate the things He hates, as we heard this morning, that sin, the great rebellion and defiance of man is in direct contrast to a life that is lived out with the fear of God. The fear of God is to hate evil. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." There is a departing. An example of one who feared the Lord indeed is Joseph. Remember, as Potiphar's wife, over and over, it says over and over, day by day, sought to seduce him. But what did he do? He shunned evil. He had the fear of the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There is a departing there when the right fear of God is present. There is a hatred of sin and there is a departing from evil. Remember, he was seduced over and over and over. Remember the scriptures in the Word of God talking of the harlot, which is also a type of false religion. Seducing. We do not want to have false religion, friend. We do not want to have false religion. We do not want to just fear God and not have a right relationship with Him. We want to truly walk as He walked. And first we must fear, then we can walk. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And as we see Joseph to the point of seduction, that he is grabbed in his coat, his very cloak is grabbed, and he departs. He runs the other way. And sin will seduce you. Sin will take you where you don't want to go. And Potiphar's wife seduced him, but by the fear of the Lord, Joseph departed. He departed from evil. In mercy and truth, Proverbs 16:6 says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity." Aren't we thankful for that? For the atonement of our Lord. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. How we need the fear of the Lord as God's people. How we need to walk in the fear of the Lord. We need to walk in it. We need to know it. It needs to be in us and resonate in our homes. We need desperately to have homes where the fear, where there is the fear of the Lord. I lived in a locality for about a year in Adelaide, in the Adelaide Hills. It's called Lobethal, which is taken from Chronicles, the Valley of Praise, the Valley of Baraka. And Lutheran families in the 1800s, look it up, it's only a small town, half the size of Hazelbrook. But we lived there for a season as a young family. It was called the Valley of Praise, Valley of Baraka. And there's an amazing history there, a Christian history, how in Prussia, which was sort of between Russia and Poland and Germany, the Prussian states, there was a great and immense persecution of Christians. And in the 1800s, a boat carrying farmers from this area of Prussia came and they settled. There's Harndorf, you probably know Harndorf, and Lobethal, and they settled in that place. And many died along the way, but there they settled. And it's an amazing history that continued down. The fear of the Lord, how they walked in the fear of the Lord. There was a whole township which for the greater part was walking and established in the fear of God, where it was said of those, and I met with older folks there, who said that they walked past the houses and the rows of streets and they heard the voices of those families gathering there singing hymns to God. And you would walk down and hear the praises of God in those homes as you walked. What a wonderful testimony. Today those folks said, well, they walk down those same streets and all they see is the blue light of the televisions flickering in those homes. You know how we need a fear of the Lord in our homes. You know how we need family devotion, how we need family worship and the right fear and relationship with the living God. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Job 28:28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Wayne, you touched on this morning the great physicists and scientists and men who are devoid of God. And in their greatest exploits and in their greatest understanding, without the fear of the Lord, totally devoid, empty, worldly wisdom. We need the right wisdom. We need to know the fear of the Lord. Better a farmer at the plow with the fear of God in his heart and a miner in the depths with an eighth grade education than the greatest men of this world devoid of God. How we need the fear of God. That is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. How we can read of the Welsh revival and the revival among the miners, and how God took those men and those families and put his fear in their hearts. Hallelujah. What a joy. To fear God is immense joy. Isn't it a privilege? Don't we count it the most amazing blessing that a person, just clay like you and I, can fear God? It's not in you, friend, and it's not in me. It's a gift from God. It's not in you, in your nature, and in my nature. It is capable of every known sin and worse. It is not in us. How we are thankful. Job was a man who was upright and blameless, and remember what it is said of him. He feared God, and what? He shunned evil. He eschewed evil in the old King James. He feared, he shunned evil. He departed from evil. And look at his household. Praise God for that man who feared God, who shunned evil. And more recently, the New Testament writer in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in what? In the fear of God. How we need, how we desperately need to walk in the fear of God. Well, friend, we don't need programs. We don't need men's seven steps and friends, we need the fear of God. We need the fear of the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. That is understanding. He who gets the fear of the Lord gets wisdom and gets understanding. He who has the fear of the Lord is able to have a right relationship with God, is able to walk with God. And by virtue of that, we'll indeed run and we'll shun evil. That is my desire as we take perhaps a few sermons, perhaps three, four. I don't know how the Lord will lead into this, but I have it on my heart to share the blessing with which God has blessed me, to just know that much of His fear and to know that much, to know what it has done to my life, to know how it's absolutely turned my life upside down, that I can be rightly related to Him. So this is my desire for us tonight, that the fear of God might cause us to depend on Him, to run to Him. God willing, next time I want to talk about the fear of man versus the fear of God, and that by the goodness of God, we fear God because He is good. We fear Him.